We've switched locations for part three of this interview. We're on the campus of Evangelical Community Hospital. We thank Deanna Hollenbach. She'll get producer credits. She helped set this up and made sure that we could carve out an additional 10 minutes or so of Dr. Ragusea's time. And we are with Dr. Anthony Ragusea. He is a psychologist here at Evangelical Community Hospital, specializes in treatment of emotional illnesses. And at the beginning of the last segment, we talked about the suicide hotline. That is 1-800-273-8255. We'll give that a number again at the end. Thank you for hosting me at your office.
I'm pleased to have you here.
I appreciate you coming up. One of the things we wanted to talk about is the fact that our conversation now isn't a contagion for suicide. Just talking about it doesn't lead to it.
Yeah, that's right. That is a common misperception that people have, that if they, for example, ask about suicide, ask if a person is suicidal, that that might make them think about suicide and actually lead them to then go, oh, well, you know, I wasn't thinking about it until you mentioned it, but now I am. That's sort of what people are afraid of. And it doesn't work like that. If you ask a person if you're suicidal, or if you felt like giving up, or like you just can't go on anymore, or you just don't want to be here anymore, questions like that aren't going to make a person suicidal. But there are other examples where the portrayal of suicide may lead to a contagion effect.
And what are those instances?
Well, it's complicated, and I don't have a simple answer. Everything in psychology is complicated. So if suicide is depicted in a TV show or a movie as something that seems like a reasonable or appropriate solution to a problem, so in a sense it gets validated as a way of dealing with a stress, that may make it seem more okay to do. But then it may also depend on then what the outcome is. So if in the show or the movie, if a person attempts suicide, but then fails and doesn't succeed and feels regret for having tried, or is experiencing some other very powerful negative consequence for not having completed it, that may also discourage people from thinking of it as a good option, because then they're starting to think, well, I could try to end my own life, but what if it doesn't work? And what are the consequences for that if it doesn't happen the way I think it will?
Okay, so it really depends on a wide range of things in the way the message was presented, and a much, much even wider range of things in the way that the message is received. I mean, you can show me something and I see it as one thing and somebody else sees it as something else.
That's exactly right, and you just can't predict it. But in as a general rule, fairly neutral questions about, are you thinking about this? If you have been thinking about it, do you have a plan? What is your plan? Do you have the means to complete suicide? Those kinds of asking questions will not provoke a person to become suicidal.
What about the factor of bullying, especially among young people?
So bullying has always been around, and some people think that that means that we should just sort of accept bullying as a part of growing up, part of reality. I disagree with that. I think that there's a lot that we could be doing to try to model different ways of solving problems, of handling relationship issues. I think there are reasons why we have such a big problem with bullying, and those reasons are things that we can control if we make a concerted effort as a society. Bullying is a major stressor on children. I think most of your listeners, if they think back to their childhood, if they experienced bullying, they would probably recall it as maybe part one of the worst periods in their life. Certainly many of my patients who recall being bullied talk about it in that way. And that says something, that even as an adult, you know, decades later, we still think, man, that was just an awful, awful period in my life. And so as a child, think of a child with not having the full coping skills and resources of an adult, and they're faced with a stressor that even adults feel like is one of the worst stressors of their life, being actively bullied. No wonder it probably does have an effect on people and makes kids more likely to attempt suicide. Certainly that's been, we have a lot of at least anecdotal evidence that teenagers who have been severely abused are more likely to go on to attempt suicide. And it's just such a shame because it's certainly preventable.
Social media, Instagram and Facebook and all of that.
Yeah, so social media can potentially also be dangerous too. You know, the social media is not evil, inherently evil. It's just how we use it that can make it that way. And social media can bring out some of the more positive qualities of human beings. It can make us talk about, share things that we wouldn't normally share, give support to people who we don't otherwise know. It can make us less inhibited, which it can work for us, it can work against us. And the way it can work against us is because we're less inhibited, we're more likely to say things we wouldn't normally say. And that disinhibition comes from the anonymity of social media, the fact that you may not know who you're talking to. There's also the distance. It's harder to be cruel to someone when you're standing next to them. It's easier to be cruel to another person from a long distance and you can't even see their face. That makes it easier. And so we do see this major problem, particularly with teenagers, because they spend so much time on social media. What their friends think of them is so important to them at that stage in life. And if friends start ganging up and bullying, again, it just feels awful for those kids, and that can also push a kid to attempt suicide.
There was a television show, 13 Reasons Why. Mm-hmm. Suicide was brought up, factors that went into an individual's suicide and the repercussions afterward. Talk about that kind of media presentation where you sort of see the whole circle of impact from suicide.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to admit, I never watched the show, but I do know that show did bring up a lot of concerns, and there was a lot of discussion about it, whether it was an appropriate depiction of suicide or not. And again, I think we should be concerned about the contagion effect. And by contagion effect, what I mean is the idea that when someone models a behavior, and it doesn't have to just be suicide, it can be any other kind of behavior, that other people might be more likely to start doing it. And so we do have some reason to believe that there can be a contagion effect regarding suicide. If you see suicide depicted on the news or TV in such a way as to make it seem okay, and even an appropriate thing to do, that can be risky. We have the same concerns around depicting mass shootings, and we think that may be one of the reasons why we've seen such an increase in a number of school-related shootings in recent years, because of all of the media coverage. In part, it's complicated. And that's something that we should be concerned about. And it's one of the reasons why media outlets are increasingly choosing not to name the shooter, to show their picture on TV, or to share much personal information about the shooter, because they don't want people watching to identify with the shooter and to see them as someone who did the right thing, who had similar problems, had similar issues and challenges, and chose this way to deal with them, and so maybe I should too. So that's a bit of a digression, but what I'm trying to say is that when it comes to social media, it's important for parents to be involved. And parents, it's hard to do because oftentimes your teenager doesn't really want you to know what they're up to, doesn't really want to share much about what's going on in their life. This can be a challenge. And it may be helpful for you to talk to a mental health professional, someone who can brainstorm with you about how we might address this kind of an issue with a teenager. But the basic idea is that it's helpful to try to be involved, to ask questions about social media, about what are the kids talking about. If a kid seems stressed out by what they read on Facebook, talk to them about it. And maybe suggest that maybe we need to take a break from Facebook for a little bit, if it seems like it's becoming a very stressful and unpleasant place to spend time. And if the teenager doesn't want to and insists that this is really important, then we may have to come to some sort of agreement about setting limits in some way, or the parent may have to place limits on the use of social media unilaterally. Ideally, it should be something that we agree on together, that you work on a plan with your teenager, that it's something that you both agree is for the best, ideally. But if not, then yeah, parent may have to take charge.
Veterans and PTSD, we have a terrible rate of suicides among veterans.
Absolutely. The military is very concerned about this. We've seen a dramatic increase in suicides among veterans in recent decades, and the military is taking it very seriously. They're doing all kinds of things to research different approaches to preventing suicide for returning veterans, for soldiers in the field, and some different treatment approaches have shown themselves to be quite successful. We talked last time about how it's just about impossible, given the limits of where we are with research, to be able to predict who will and who won't go on to commit suicide. But what we do know from research, and in part research with veterans, is that programs used to help to identify folks at risk, to try to help them develop coping skills, develop good social systems, and do other healthy things that we think will help to prevent suicide, that those programs are successful, that they will reduce the odds of people going on to commit suicide. So we are saving lives with these programs. We just don't know whose lives.
Anything else to add? We really have touched on dozens of topics. We're just about out of time, but we have a moment left. Anything else?
This is such a big topic, and there's so much that I could talk about. We could go on for a long time, I think. Again, I think the bottom line is that you don't want to be afraid to talk about suicide. You don't want to be afraid to acknowledge that you yourself may have had thoughts of suicide. And you want to try to seek help. And again, this is what mental health professionals are for. If you don't have other people in your life who you feel like understand and are helping with your problem, try to talk to a mental health professional. They may not be able to fix everything that's wrong, but they will try to, at the very least, listen to your concerns, try to support you, try to help you, try to think of maybe other options that maybe you haven't thought of. And that's what I really encourage people to do.